That may be the last time we hear that song for a long time, that little thing. I'm sorry, I know. It's kind of, but the good news is you still get to be family on board. So how many of y'all are here with somebody in your family this morning? Raise your hand if you're here with someone in your family today. Good. You can give them a hug, a handshake, a high five. Some of you are really overdue for a kiss right now. That's fine. Family on board. Yes, sir. Hey, look, I hear you giggling because family's a funny thing. All right, you think about it. I mean, all of the characters and all of the personalities and all of the, you know, the past and the present, maybe the future, you know, as you scroll through the personalities in your family tree, just think about it for a second. You may be the one that everybody's going, oh my God, they're whatever, but you got some personalities, don't you? You got some crazy people in your family. We're all kind of that way a little bit, but when you think about it, it's a funny, funny thing. And I don't have to tell you that family can be difficult sometimes. How many of y'all got a difficult family member? All right, somebody that, don't raise your hand. Well, okay, you can, I guess. All right, you kind of do that. And like I said, if you don't know who it is, it's probably you. Family can be tough sometimes. And I don't have to tell you at this time of year, Your Honor, may I present to you Exhibit A, the holidays. We're talking about his family on board. I mean, let's be honest, Christmas can be stressful. I mean, it's a lot of fun. We kind of look forward to being together and, you know, in the presents and all. But then, you know, you kind of get thinking about it and it's like, man, all the presents and getting ready for the food and everybody getting together and who's going to which house and how are we going to pay for everything? And then what about some of y'all getting tired just thinking about Christmas, all right? It can cause fatigue. And then when it all finally comes together and Christmas is here, you find yourself staring across the table at these people. Like, what in the world? And how are we going to get out of this? When you think about it, now, growing up, I had a lot of really great Christmases growing up, and I grew up in the fine state of Illinois till I was about 12 years old, and it's very, very cold up there right now, all right? A lot of snow on the ground in Illinois, and I liked growing up there as a kid and doing Christmas because we'd get all bundled up and, you know, and be kind of, you know, and we would split Christmas Eve between my grandparents, and I specifically remember really loved going to my dad's mother's house, Grandma Caputo, because it would be this Italian Christmas Eve feast. Man, I mean, just you name it, it was there, from the salad to the spaghetti and meatballs, and it was all about Italian food and Christmas Eve. And what was really cool about going to my Grandma Caputo's house was that some reason Santa Claus would show up there. So we would like spend the evening and we're all full of food and stuff, and then we're ready for Santa to show up at the front door, and he would always surprise us. You know, it's kind of, I don't know what he was doing out that early on a Christmas Eve, but he would show up at Grandma's house. And along with the anticipation and the food and things like that, it would be the place where my cousins and my brother and I would get together. And by the time Santa got there, we were like fit to be tied, and we would make up games to play. And I think on this particular Christmas Eve, I was probably 7 or 8 years old, we were playing Batman and Robin, you know, superhero kind of things. And you know how the action, if you're, you know, a kid or were a kid, you kind of know the action kind of gets elevated a little bit. And then pretty soon you're like doing things you shouldn't be doing. And if you ask me, I was thrown or flipped. Now, if you ask my cousin, I slipped into my grandmother's glass coffee table, right in the head. Now, what I remember last about that Christmas Eve was a lot of blood, and my mom screaming, and then off to the emergency room, and that was about it. We got a memorable Christmas Eve story out of that. And I don't remember even, good grief, what even happened that Christmas morning, but stitches and scars and wounds. Family's rough sometimes. Family's rough sometimes, but we are family, and this is us. And you know what? We love each other. But sometimes, if we're real about this, family causes wounds and stitches and scars. The question is, do we want those wounds and stitches and scars to result in a family life that makes us grinch out at Christmas? Like, we don't even want to go there. Or worse, all year long, in a house that's fallen apart, leaving a legacy of regret and dysfunction? Or Or do we want to build a strong family life? Do we want to establish a loving heritage and leave a rich legacy for future generations behind us, even with the wounds and the stitches and the scars? Is that even possible? You know, that's what this series has been all about, this Family on Board series. It's been a lot of fun. Over the past few weeks, we've been studying the Bible book of Proverbs. Hopefully, you got a chance to read through that with us. It's just been a lot of fun. And then this Proverbs is just this fascinating collection of God's words that is loaded with God's wisdom for our lives and for families. And it's just been cool. And your individual part in your family life, to have a strong family. So we're going to do a quick review, and we're going to have some audience participation. So if that's okay, I hope it is. I'm going to go ahead and kind of run through where we've been over the last few weeks. And if I ask you to stand, or if you see something that represents you on the screen, then you can stand. All right. Now, a few weeks ago, just when we were getting started, we talked about the book of Proverbs, and we talked about being men of God, wise men, men on board. So if you're a man of God this morning, if you're a man, go ahead and stand. All right, men, go ahead and stand. Let's hear it for our guys. Yep, all right. Y'all are just taking this moment. That is a good-looking group of guys right there. All right, awesome. Perfect. The second week, we went into Proverbs 31, and we talked about being wise women, women of God, and it was just really cool, women on board. So if you're a woman, go ahead and stand up if you're a woman this morning. Yep, let's hear it for our ladies. Yes. Y'all should stand a lot longer than the guys. You're a lot easier to look at. All right. After that, we spent about 3 weeks, and we talked about what it means to be married. We said just married, having marriages that are on board. And we said we don't want to be just married. We want to be, like, just married. And so if you're a married person this morning, if you're here with your husband or wife, or maybe you're married, go ahead and stand up. Let's hear it for our couples today. Yep, married. Yep. Marriage is on board. And then Linwood followed up with a message about children and how much we love our children and we do ministry around here for our kids and the legacy that we can have through our kids. So if you're under the age of 18, go ahead and stand up. Or if you're 18, you can do that too, all right? Go ahead and stand up. Let's hear it for our children on board. Yep. I hesitate to call them children. Some of them are young adults, and it's pretty cool. And then the last couple weeks, we have talked to our parents and about our parents through the book of Proverbs about being parents on board. So if you're a parent this morning, let's go ahead and have our parents stand. Parents, stand up. Yep. I hope I'm not missing somebody. Awesome. Congratulations. Yes. You're surviving parenthood. Now, hopefully everyone in the room has stood up. If I didn't stand up, then God has nothing to say to you this morning, all right? You can't do that. Actually, we started out with the men and the women, so that should have covered everybody, so I'm cheating a little bit. But man, today as we wrap up this series, I'd really like to focus on a proverb that everyone in the room has in common. It's something that we can, especially if you stood up, we can look at through the lens of being a family on board. We can underline it, hang it in our house, have it in our heart. It's a proverb that all of us really should take seriously. It's Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4. Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4. I'd like to read it to you, and then we will read it together. It says this: by wisdom, a house is built, and through understanding, it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. That's the New American Standard Version. Let's read that together. If you would with me, we'll read it one more time. Let's do this all as a group. Proverbs 24, verse 3 and 4. Here we go. By wisdom, a house is built, and through understanding, it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms, precious and pleasant riches. Awesome. So how can we do our part? How can we do our part to build a strong family life, to establish a loving heritage, and to leave a rich legacy for future generations? Well, this proverb, 24, 3 and 4, suggests that it's possible when we build our homes, when we build our lives, when we build our families on God's wisdom, on His understanding, and on knowledge. Our houses, yes, our houses can be full of precious, beautiful things. And not just in the pictures on the walls and the things that we buy to fill our houses, but the rooms of our hearts. Think about it. Our memories, our children, our grandchildren, our parents, our marriages, legacy, rooms in our hearts that are filled with riches, not regret. And it really begins by knowing that God's blessings come from God's wisdom. God's blessings come from God's wisdom. This goes all the way back to where we started the series, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge, the fear of the Lord. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. And like many of you here this morning, seeing God's wisdom and seeing his understanding and knowledge is one reason that I gave the church and that I gave Jesus a chance in the first place. You know, about 35 years ago, as a rebellious teenager, you know, I just kind of hit that spot where I was starting to despise my foolish ways. I was just kind of like, what in the world, man? Why are you being so dumb? And then I began to look around and I began to notice that my friends who knew the Lord, and I began to notice as I went to church for the first few times, the fear of the Lord. I saw God's wisdom at work in other people's families. And I'm sure many of you can relate to this. I'm sure you've been there, and that's why you're here today. Maybe you've said, like I've said, man, I've got nowhere else to go. Where do I go? Where do I go from here? My bad decisions have gotten me to this place. Or maybe you've said, you know, I've got so much trouble at home. Maybe God can help. Maybe God can help me figure this out. Or maybe you've said, you know, let's get married in church. Or maybe you got married in church because you need God's blessing. You know, let's get a preacher to do this because we need all the help we can get. Or I'm tired of being just married. Maybe I'll try something new, something different. You know, I know some friends of mine, they've got something really cool going on in their marriage. Maybe they have something they can share with us and they happen to go to church. And maybe that's why you're here this morning. Or maybe you're saying, you know, we've got a baby. We just had this baby. We better get religion. Now, you may have had that baby because you ignored what God said about making babies to begin with, but now you've got that little bundle of joy to take care of. And yeah, you don't want to mess this up. Or maybe you've lost another job. Or maybe you've spent most of what you had running up credit card bills, or maybe on gambling, or the things in your life that you think were more important, and all of a sudden, here you are. Out of money. And you're thinking, here this morning, you're thinking, maybe God, maybe church, maybe these good people, maybe the Bible can help. And if you're thinking that way, you're right. It's Proverbs 16:20 says, he who gives attention to the word will find good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Like many of you, foolish decisions really caught up with me as a teenager and sometimes even still as an adult. But as a young man, they nearly cost me my family. And seeing godly wisdom in godly people was the first line of evidence that I saw in the case for Jesus. And since then, since those days, giving attention to God's word, and following Jesus with my life, like many of you could say this morning, taking God's wisdom seriously has changed my life. And like many of you, it's changed your homes. It's changed the family around you. You have seen your family tree literally bend in the right direction because of God's wisdom in your life. You see, it turns out that God's wisdom really does work better than my foolishness and yours. And it turns out that God's wisdom is the way, God's wisdom is the way to build a strong family. Now, I know you expect me to say this, I know you're going to stand up here, preacher. You're going to say, man, you know, it's all about God. And I just want to tell you this morning, to be real with you, I am not standing up here as a preacher talking. I am standing up here as a man who doesn't have a clue about how to be a man and how to be a husband and how to be a father or a grandpa or even a good friend without God's wisdom, without his grace in my life. And I got to tell you, you know, I wake up sometimes in a cold sweat thinking about the man that I would be without God's wisdom. But then I wake up and I look around the people in my life. And I realize God is faithful and he is worthy to be praised. And his wisdom really does pay off. And you don't have to take my word for it. Ask around the room. Ask the people that you know that know Jesus, and you will find out there are a million stories in this place that show this to be true. Building a strong family life, establishing a godly heritage, and leaving a rich legacy for future generations is built on God's wisdom, his understanding, his knowledge, and it is possible. It is possible for me and for you, for all of us, and for anyone you know. But we've got to want it. We have to want to seek the wisdom of God. You know what? It's a good thing. It's a good thing that he came to earth so that we could find it, so that we could see it for our very own eyes on the pages of Scripture. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, and we have his life, we have God's words, we have his wisdom in the flesh, in Jesus, the Son of God who lived a perfect life, wisdom, perfect wisdom in the flesh, right there in the pages. Now, I hope you'll come back next week because we're starting a new series on King Jesus. It's going to carry us into the Christmas season, and we're going to talk about Jesus up close and personal. I'm really excited about this, so come on back next week for our first message in the life of Jesus. But man, Jesus, God with flesh on, wisdom right before our eyes, perfect life. And he shows us how to build a strong family life and establish a loving heritage and to leave a rich legacy for future generations. And he shows us that it's possible because of himself, because of Jesus, because of his life, because of his words, and living and doing what his words say to do. A great place to start with this in the Bible, the great place to see the wisdom of Jesus, is in Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. If you have your Bibles, you can look there. I just want to share a very brief story from Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus, get this, Jesus teaches exactly about a wise man, about wisdom who builds his house. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Listen to this parable that Jesus tells. Jesus says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine. Now, when he says, hear these words of mine, Jesus has been teaching. He's been teaching about prayer. He's been teaching about anxiety. He's been teaching about worry and how to build your life and trust God and actually to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. And you don't have to worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and what you're going to wear, because that's what the world worries about. So Jesus is teaching all of these magnificent things. And then he says, everyone who hears these words of mine, these things I've been teaching, and then puts them into practice, does what they say, is like a wise man. Wisdom, a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rock, doing the things that Jesus says to do. You build your house on the rock like the wise man. Verse 25, and then the rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house and it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. What are you building your life on? The words of Jesus and doing those words, putting them into practice. Because when, not if, the storms of life come, you want to be built on a foundation, on the rock, so that your house doesn't come crashing down. Oh, I'm not there yet. You can build your life on what Jesus says. You ready? Look at verse 26. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. You're hearing what I'm saying? If you're not going to do it, you're like a foolish man who builds his house not on the rock, but on sand. And the rain comes, and the streams rise, and the winds blow and beat against that house, and it falls with a great crash. See, whether our houses, whether our lives, whether our families stand strong or crashes down, all depends on what we build our lives on. Hearing the word of God and doing what it says to do, it seems like our lives and our houses, our families depend on it. And wise people know that the rock we can build our houses on are actually doing what Jesus says to do. These words of mine. These words of mine. And Jesus says a lot of things in the New Testament. So what I thought we'd do is just kind of look at some of the most important words that Jesus said about building a strong life, building a strong family life, establishing a loving heritage. In fact, leaving a legacy, a rich legacy for future generations. And it comes down to this: love God first. And love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew chapter 22. Check this out. Jesus is asked, which of his words, which of God's words were the most important ones of all to live by? An expert of the law comes to him, Matthew 22, verse 36, and he tests Jesus with this question. He says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment of all? Greatest. And Jesus replies, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And I knew many of us in this room have heard this passage over and over again. If I ask you to, what's the greatest commandment? You could probably say, hey, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We need to really hear the words of Jesus. Because even though we may have heard this 100 times before, our families are still a mess. Our lives are still crashing down around us. Love God first. You know, sometimes it's easy to say and it's hard to do. So what I did today was I brought my baseball bat with me. All right? I'm just going to come down to the audience and say, are you loving God? And then if you're not, I'm not going to do that. This is actually a very popular instrument around our Christmas table growing up in an Italian family. Never mind. If you don't get that joke, then don't hold me to it. That's not what this is for at all. In fact, I brought this because this represents something very important to me. This represents a stick that I'm going to use to draw a circle around exactly who Jesus is talking about in this passage. Love the Lord your God, with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your strength. I want to draw a circle around myself. And I need to invite you to do the very same thing this morning. Draw a circle around the person sitting in your chair. Loving God first comes down to your relationship with him. And sometimes we want to point fingers at the person next to us or the other people in our family or the past hurts and the things that have happened to us before. God says, no. You start right here with the person in your chair, in your circle. So if you'll visualize this and just kind of whenever you read these passages of scripture and you see what Jesus is saying, just to draw a circle around yourself, because this is between you and God. Do you know and love and follow Jesus? Is Jesus truly your Lord? Is loving God your first priority before anything else in this world? Is he the first priority in your family? You see, when I gave my life to Jesus, like many of you, and I was baptized into new life, I came out of that water to know him and to love him and to do exactly what he says to do. And when I love God first, with all that I am, with my heart, my soul, my strength, my mind, seeking his wisdom in my life, then he changes the person in this circle. And praise the Lord, sometimes he praises the people closest to the person inside of this circle. He changes me and he changes you. He changes everything. When we decide to love God first. And then he says, to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, verse 39, the second commandment, the second most important one is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love your neighbor. Now, I don't know who your neighbors are. I don't know who you live around. I don't know who you do family with. But when Jesus says, love your neighbor, I immediately think about my family. I got a picture of them. This is from Thanksgiving. This is some of my crew here. my wife, Lisa, of course, my kids, Kaylee and Logan, my son-in-law, Kyle, my brother, Dan. You can tell the family resemblance there. My nieces and my nephew. And it's funny that they say you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your family. Maybe you have moments like this. Or maybe like Harrison, he actually looks like he's picking his nose there. You can't pick your family, but seriously, who are our closest neighbors? Probably the ones we can't pick. Probably the ones we share our blood with. Family. And you may not be able to pick them, but you can. You can pick the ways that you love them. Loving God and loving our neighbors will lead us to do Jesus things with our family, to forgive them 100% of the time, to make peace with them, to speak with care to them, to serve each other in your house, to be faithful to your spouse, love your neighbor as yourself, truly honor your parents. And none of us in this room are perfect. We've all got our stuff. But we grow up with an opportunity to love each other. And you know, I look at my brother Dan up there and I think, man, there was a time for many, many years where I wanted to kill him. He was the most annoying little guy in the world. You would never have any idea. You ever play that game in the back seat where you say, don't touch me, don't touch me, don't touch me? And he just kind of puts his finger right up to your face and just kind of rides that way until you finally smack him and then you get grounded. Now, I'm not bitter. That never, but... And I look at that picture and I think, you know, I can't do that anymore. I can't beat him up because he's bigger than me. But also, he is one of my best friends in the whole entire world. I don't want to kill him anymore. Jesus found a way to love him through me. And our relationship is different because of that. Love your neighbor as yourself. When we mess up, we own it. We do what God says. We love in action. We say, I'm sorry. We change our habits. We do the right things. We make amends. We pray for them. We ask God to take what has been broken and to make it like new again. And not just new, but stronger than it was before. Even our wounds and our scars and our stitches. Jesus said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And catch this wisdom now. God, Jesus is so amazing. Love God and take care of yourself. Your family is depending on you. Be wise. If you want to have a family life that is healthy, it starts with you, the person in the circle, being healthy, taking care of yourself, healthy, physically, spiritually, emotionally. Love God. Love God first. Love your neighbor as yourself. And you'll build a strong family, establish a loving heritage, and leave a rich legacy for future generations. It is possible when we do what Jesus says to do. And there is no better way, no better way to live life. God, others, yourself. If you live by any other set of priorities, all bets are off. And some of you are sitting here this morning saying, yeah, I know. I've put myself before God. I've put myself before family. I've put my selfish desires. And would you go back there if you could start all over again and put God first? Maybe put your family first, right behind God and right before yourself. And I'm smart enough and you're smart enough to know as we read through this that it's not going to all be butterflies and rainbows and a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. You know, I know there's a lot of stuff going on in our minds, especially this time of year. God does not promise that at all. In fact, we're not even promised tomorrow. We're promised that it's going to be hard. We're promised that we're going to have tough times. There is not a perfect family tree in this room today. But legacy is built through trials. Heritage is built by heartache. It's getting through those times and moving forward and trusting God with it. And you and I today can embrace where we are and go from here. Embrace where you're at right now. So I gotta grab my bat again because it's not just for drawing circles. This bat's used for drawing lines as well. So if you will, just imagine for me for a minute. I don't know where you are in your life right now, but right now I'm gonna ask you to draw a line in the sand. You just, if I can go in front of my house over here, just draw a line in the sand. Because what's behind you is behind you. all of the memories, all of the hurts, all of the things that you wish you could do over again, that land of regret that you want to visit sometimes and you find yourself living there. No, draw a line in the sand and cross that line and say, I'm not looking back. I am never too old to do the right thing. I'm never too old to make the right choice. What are you going to do from now on is what matters in your life. Yes, Christmas is right in front of you, all the opportunity in the world to step across that line and not look back. So maybe things have been a mess in the past. Don't go back there. Step across and live in the now. Say, from now on, things are going to be different. And maybe for some of you, just being honest, maybe for some of you that line in the sand represents you. Finally, once and for all and forever, giving your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and King of your life. That baptistry represents a line in the sand. That if you go into that water and you come out a brand new person, you never have to say hello to that old man again. You get a new life in Christ. And maybe today is a day you can make that decision and not look back. Or maybe today that line represents unforgiveness in your family life. Forgive. Or maybe it represents maybe some miscommunication or a misunderstanding and you just need to make that phone call. Or maybe it's an encouragement. Maybe it's somebody that you want to just, man, give encouragement to. You haven't talked to them in a while and you just want to kind of reboot and readjust and go from here. From now on, the question I want to propose to you is to ask is this. What choice will you be happiest that you made when you look back on this? What choice are you going to be happiest that you made a week from now, a year from now, or when you look back on your life? Make that choice. Make the loving choice. Draw that line today and step across that line and don't look back. Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's a letter that you want to write. Maybe it's to drop a text. Maybe it's to forgive or to make amends or to encourage. Maybe today you're thinking about getting into a support group and putting some of those ways behind you once and for all. I want to encourage you to do that. Maybe it's finding a mentor or asking somebody. Man, you sit in a small group every week just biting your nails whenever something comes up because, you know, you just want to ask for help, but you don't. Maybe draw a line in the sand. Talk to your mentor. Talk to someone who can help you. Be the wise man. Be the wise woman. Be the wise marriage. Be the wise kids. Be the wise house. Be the wise parents. From now on, from now on, from now on, which direction will you grow in? What will you build your future self, your future life, your future house and family on? By wisdom, a house is built. By wisdom, on the rock of living Jesus' words, on loving God, on loving your neighbor, loving yourself, through understanding that a house is established through knowledge. And its rooms are filled with precious and pleasant treasures. Filled. Speaking of treasures, you see on the picture, I'm a grandfather now. I know it's hard to believe. Chad said earlier, it's hard to believe he's got a 20-year-old son. It's hard to believe that I am a grandparent. I know they're only 4 and 5, but they're still young and they're beautiful and they're amazing. And if you're a grandparent today, let's hear it for our grandparents, all right? You grandparent, look, go ahead, look. I won't make you stand because I know this is about all the energy you got right now, all right? Because, whoo, man, it's tough. But, man, grandparents, Proverbs 17:6. Children's children are a crown to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children. We thank God for grandparents and parents who understand legacy. Your legacy matters. You matter. You matter to your families. You matter to us, and we're so glad that you're here and investing and growing. I want to encourage you to build that legacy on God's wisdom. Look, I know retirement sounds good, and I know that the cruises and the toys and the experience and trips and all that stuff are nice. But we're talking about legacy. We're talking about a heritage that goes on forever and generations that will last. There is no retirement plan in the Bible, and there's no retirement plan when it comes to building a family. We need you here. Your family needs you. Our lives, our church needs you, and we love you. And we're in this together. Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children." An inheritance, and not just material things. but all of these wonderful, precious memories. And a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous, Proverbs 13:22. The truth is, we stand on the strong shoulders of men and women who live this wisdom, who say, you're never too old. I thank God for you, man. You're here this morning. And you're saying, I am never too old to invest in someone younger than me. I'm never too old to help some of y'all grandparents, helping people move into houses and doing like crazy physical stuff. And then the next day you're like, what am I doing? Oh yeah, I forgot I'm old. You know, but what? You're not too old. And you're saying, from now on, I'm going to do this. It's not too late. From now on, I think of men and women that are here and men and women from our past. Some of those who are not my biological parents and grandparents, just like they're not yours. But they live this proverb spiritually. You know, we've talked about family on board. And I thank God often for Ed and June Walker. Now, you will never know Ed. He has gone to be with the Lord. And June's still alive. She's 94 years old. But Ed and June Walker, Lisa's grandfather, they called Ed Sleepy. Now, he wasn't a perfect man by any stretch of the imagination, but he had Proverbs 24:3-4 down. You see, he learned God's wisdom from his papa. In fact, this is his Bible. We have it in our house. It's all worn out. It's got duct tape on it, just like mine, except this one's 75 years old. And back then, they only had like one Bible they carried around with them, and it was a King James Version. Now we have multiple versions, but Grandpa Walker's life was built on the wisdom in this word. And man, he left a legacy that's just incredible, and I'm so thankful for that, and I get to thank God for that every day. He built his house on God's wisdom, and he shared it. He shared it with his church. He shared it with his community. I remember riding around Rolly, Kentucky, this little country town, and he would point out the houses and the people that live there and how he had seen them married and seen their first babies and how he had prayed with them. He cared about his community, and he shared God's wisdom with his wife, and he passed it along to his girls, Sheila and Paula. And one of those girls had a daughter who loves Jesus more than anyone I know. And I get to share my life with her. My wife, Lisa, has her grandpa and Grandma Walker to thank for building their house on the wisdom of God, on Jesus. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed to share that inheritance. I am blessed, and so are my kids, and so are their kids, and hopefully their kids, and their kids, and their kids. Ed Walker lived a humble life. Ed and June didn't have much material wealth, but rich. He was rich. And he was rich because he built his house on Proverbs 24, on God's wisdom. It was built through understanding. It was established. And today, even years after he has gone to be with Jesus, Ed Walker's house and its rooms are filled with all kinds of precious and pleasant memories. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what you want? It's possible. And it's possible even with our wounds and our stitches and our scars. You see, if we build our lives on God's wisdom, on his understanding and knowledge, if we build our houses on the rock of living Jesus' words and doing what he says, on loving God and loving our neighbor and loving ourselves, it's possible. It's possible by being family. Being a family on board. And I can't wrap up without saying this. As a church, y'all, we're in this together. CCW, my brothers and sisters, my friends, we are in this together. We want to help families build and grow strong together. That's why we want older believers to share the wisdom of God with younger believers. That's why we have intentional mentoring here. That's why we do small groups. That's why we want you to invest. That's why we have youth groups and children's ministry. In fact, if you were here Wednesday night, I don't know if you were or not, but it was an amazing thing. Our youth band led worship in the gym, and there were people from all ages, about 200 people worshiping together. I mean, young, little, babies, old folks, everybody there. And then they had waffles together, and it was just an amazing Wednesday night. Our family ministry did a great job with that. That's what it's all about. It's why at Christmas time, in fact, you are, through the praise the Lord, you have adopted, you ready for this? 200 foster kids and kids of single parents. You guys have adopted 200 kids this Christmas and given them presents off of that tree out there in the hallway, because we are in this together. You know what legacy is all about and heritage is all about. Praise God for that. You're a family on board, you and I, all of us together, family. And now as we leave this place, we're family here. Let's go be family out there. Christmas is the perfect time to apply God's wisdom to your life. Don't be a Grinch this Christmas. Don't be a Grinch. Be Jesus to the world. Be Jesus to your family. Be the peace. Be the light. Be like Jesus. Let's go ahead and stand together. We're going to close with a time of prayer. And as we do, I just want to ask you these questions. Maybe there's something you're thinking of or something you can write down just to apply God's wisdom to your life this week. What's one thing you can do? What's one person you can reach out to or someone in your family you can show love to? What's one way you can build a strong family life or establish a loving heritage? Maybe this is the year you just kind of make Christ the center and maybe read the scriptures or serve or give or do something different that shows God is first in your family and leave a legacy for future generations. Just kind of think about that. And right now as we close, why don't we just go ahead and just maybe if you're comfortable with this, just kind of hold hands with the person around you or maybe grab a shoulder next to you and just like family does, let's have a word of prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, you are everything to us, God. Thank you for making us part of your family. And I thank you for this family here this morning. For my brothers, my sisters, my spiritual parents, my friends, those of us who can band together and grow strong together. God, we want to build our house on a rock because we know life is hard and we know things are going to come crashing up against us on a daily basis. God, we want to do what you say. We want to love you first. We want to love our neighbors. We want to love ourselves and just like you do. And God, I pray that when those things happen, you will help us to stand strong together as we live your words together. God, I pray a blessing, please. On every single person here this morning, on every house, on every family, on every person, that we would be the people that you have grown us to be, wise people, people of God. God, I pray a blessing as the holidays approach and as we consider maybe the past, the present, God, is in the next few days, God, that you would give us a heart like Jesus. God, help us to serve, help us to grow, help us to draw that line in the sand and say, from now on, I'm not going to live with regret. I'm going to live right here in the moment. God, please, through the power of your Holy Spirit, would you lead us and guide us to be your people, people of wisdom, husbands and wives, men and women, couples, singles, grandparents, young and old, all different backgrounds, fill this place today. And as we leave this place today, God, may your Spirit lead us and guide us today through the holidays as we establish our homes, our legacies. God, as we look forward to seeing future generations know you and praise you, maybe because of this moment right here today. Bless us, God. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In the name of your Son, Jesus, who makes all this possible, we pray. Amen.